Hey, listener. Before we get started, there are a couple of things I need to point out about the podcast. First, this podcast is intended to serve as a study aid for students in the Texas Basic Peace Officer course and should not be used in place of classroom instruction. Second, you should not consider anything we discuss during the episodes as legal advice, and the opinions we express on the podcast are our own and are not representative of our employers or the Texas Commission on Law Enforcement. And finally, you should always consult your agency representatives and your county or district attorney's office before filing criminal charges based on anything you hear on the podcast. Are you a cadet in the Basic Peace Officer course in Texas? Are you an officer in another state planning to challenge the Texas Peace Officer licensing exam? If so, then this is the podcast for you. We are going through and breaking down the codified portions of the Basic Peace Officer course learning objectives to help you understand all the legal language. This is BPOC Basics. Welcome to the podcast where we break down the learning objectives from the Basic Peace Officer course and other related classes. I am Jim McGregor, the training coordinator for the Tarrant County College Law Enforcement Academy, and with me, as always, is Amy Byram from the Tarrant County Sheriff's Office.
Hey there.
And today we're talking about Chapter 7 of the Penal Code, Criminal Responsibility for the Conduct of Another. So we're going to get started right away with Section 7.01, Parties to Offenses. And it reads, a person is criminally responsible as a party to an offense if the offense is committed by his own conduct, by the conduct of another for which he is criminally responsible, or by both. Each party to an offense may be charged with the commission of the offense, and all traditional distinctions between accomplices and principals are abolished by this section, and each party to an offense may be charged and convicted without alleging that he acted as a principal or an accomplice. So basically what this law is talking about is that when people work together, or whenever they are involved in a criminal action together, we don't have the distinction between who is the primary and who is an accomplice in Texas anymore. They used to have that years ago, but way, way back in 1974, they changed that law and got rid of that distinction. And so now anybody that works in conjunction with somebody else are considered parties to the offense.
Yes, okay. Perfect.
All right. We just read about being criminally responsible for another. Well, let's talk about what that means. So a person is criminally responsible for an offense committed by the conduct of another if, acting with the kind of culpability required for the offense, well, if we think about what culpability means, right, that's what you're thinking about while you're doing the act. He causes or aids an innocent or non-responsible person to engage in conduct prohibited by the definition of the offense. Or acting with intent to promote or assist the commission of the offense, he solicits, encourages, directs, aids, or attempts to aid the other person to commit the offense. Or having a legal duty to prevent commission of the offense and acting with intent to promote or assist its commission, he fails to make a reasonable effort to prevent the commission of the offense. So let's break this down. Under one, acting with the kind of culpability required for the offense, he causes or aids an innocent or non-responsible person to engage in conduct prohibited by the definition of the offense. What are we talking about here?
Well, on that one, basically, when it talks about the kind of culpability required, that means the either intentionally, knowingly, recklessly, or with criminal negligence part. he causes or aids an innocent or non-responsible person to do the act. So if you have the right frame of mind or the right culpability and you cause or you help somebody to commit the act, then you're just as guilty as the person who actually committed the act.
All right. So that would be like if I convinced somebody that wasn't wanting to do it, then I talked them into doing it, then
yes.
They weren't going to do it without my encouragement, then I would be responsible, even though I wasn't the one that actually did it.
Yes.
All right. So then acting with the intent, this is number two, acting with the intent to promote or assist in the commission of the offense. So now I'm a willing participant here. I solicit, so that would be like
you ask somebody to do something.
I recruit somebody, right? I recruit, solicit, encourage, direct, aids, or attempts to aid the other person to commit the offense. So now we're kind of like working together as a team. Or having the legal duty to prevent the commission of the offense. So now I'm like a security guard or maybe a police officer or somebody that's been, you know, entrusted to stop criminal actions from happening with the intent to promote or assist in its commission. He fails to make a reasonable effort to prevent commission of the offense. So this might be like I'm the security guard or I'm the guy that's supposed to prevent people from sneaking into a venue, a concert or something, and I like let them in.
Yes.
Let people sneak in because I'm on the take. So that would be number three there under 7.02. All right, so now that was all under A. So this is B. If in the attempt to carry out a conspiracy to commit one felony, another felony is committed by one of the conspirators, all the conspirators are guilty of the felony actually committed, though having no intent to commit it, if the offense was committed in furtherance of the unlawful purpose and one that should have been anticipated as a result of carrying out the conspiracy. So this is kind of like if I'm the getaway driver and my buddy Jethro goes into the convenience store and I think Jethro is going to commit an armed robbery of the convenience store. And I know he has a gun, but he promised me he wasn't going to hurt anybody. He was just going to scare the clerk, the cashier in the convenience store. So he goes in there and the convenience store cashier fights back and says, I'm not going to give you the money. And so Jethro ends up shooting the guy and taking the money and runs out and gets in the car and says, hurry up and let's get out of here. And I drive off with Jethro. I didn't shoot anybody. I never even held a gun in my hand, but I would be criminally responsible for a capital murder, even though I never even set foot in the store, I never held a gun in my hand, and I definitely never pulled the trigger or shot anybody,
yes.
Right? Okay, very good. Okay, moving on to section 7.03, defenses excluded. In a prosecution in which the actor's criminal responsibility is based on the conduct of another, the actor may be convicted on proof of commission of the offense and that he was a party to its commission, and it is no defense, one, that the actor belongs to a class of persons that by definition of the offense is legally incapable of committing the offense in an individual capacity. This is a little confusing and hard to come up with an example, but what I'd like to try to get people to imagine here is, let's say that same convenience store, I take a person under the age of 21 and I send that underage person into the store and I say, hey, go in there and grab a case of beer and run out the store without paying. And I'm going to be sitting here in the car and I'm still the getaway driver, run out the store, jump in the car, and we're going to drive off. Commonly known as a beer run. And that would be a theft, but it would also be a minor in possession of alcohol for that under the age of 21 person. I'm over the age of 21, but I could also be charged as a party to that offense of minor in possession of alcohol, even though I'm not a minor, correct?
Yes.
Theoretically, even though that probably wouldn't happen.
Right.
I could be charged because I'm a party to the offense, even though individually I'm legally incapable of committing the offense of minor in possession of alcohol. All right. Or number two, under this same 7.03, that the person for whose conduct the actor is criminally responsible has been acquitted, has not been prosecuted or convicted, has been convicted of a different offense or of a different type or class of offense, or is immune from prosecution. What this is saying is, same scenario, let's say that underage juvenile or underage person that went in and got the case of beer and ran out, that person cut a deal with the prosecution to testify against me and negotiated that they weren't going to get charged if they testified and said that I put them up to it. And so they did not get prosecuted. That doesn't mean, well, since you didn't prosecute that person, I can't get prosecuted because there is now no longer a conspiracy, right?
Right.
All right. So I think that wraps it up here for Chapter 7. Join us in our next episode when we talk about general defenses to criminal responsibility.